Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Christ International Community Church. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-believing church that is bridging ethnic, racial, and national boundaries to unite people into a growing community of committed believers. We love one family at a time through acceptance, caring, transformation, intercession, outreach, and nurturing. Now, enjoy one of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teachings as taught at Christ International Community Church.
Except that I'm not even going to touch some of those things that Paul said in there. You know, I've never seen such a spirited defense, you know, of one's ministry, the way he gave that defense of his ministry. In my last message on the Corinthians, I preached a message that I titled Identifying a True Man of God. And it dealt with something that Apostle Paul had considered as the biggest stronghold in the church. You know, and what he considered the biggest stronghold was dealing with a fake man of God. Of course, you can all understand why that can be the biggest stronghold. If the person that's supposed to teach you the truth is fake, so you know that everything he's teaching you is the fake truth, right? Otherwise known as falsehood, right? So if you are learning falsehood, then how can you know the truth? So that's why Paul thought that was the biggest stronghold that one could deal with. And we identified six main traits then that we should look out for in a true man of God. And we talk about relationship with Christ. Does that man of God have a good relationship with Christ? What about his relationship with the church? Is he tearing the church down or is he elevating them? You know, is he saying things that are edifying or things that are non-edifying? Is he compassionate? You know, and we give several examples. Is he dominating or gentle? Is he consistent in his lifestyle? You know, that you can always say, if somebody comes and tell you that man of God did something, you can always say, no, it cannot be him. Because you know about the consistency. And the final thing was, is he humble? So what Paul is doing in this chapter 11 is continuing that argument. And that's why I said I'm not going to touch a lot of it, because I believe I said all I needed to say about that in the last sermon. But what Paul is doing here, again, in addition to continuing to defend himself, you know, and you heard it, that yeah, I may not be able to talk the way you talk, but I am as knowledgeable as you are, you know, stuff like that. But he's again saying, okay, apart from this false prophet, so you also have a role to play in it. You also have your own problem, because if false prophets are able to confuse you, it must be because you are not practicing your Christianity the way it should be practiced. And that seems to be what Paul is saying here. You know. So, I am going to talk about your role in this stronghold that we talked about before. And I have titled my message today, The Simple Christian. The Simple Christian. Because that's what Paul said. Paul wants us to be simple Christians. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just ask that you take absolute control right now. These messages from Corinthians, they are very crucial for our Christian life. They are very crucial to how we walk this work. Father in heaven, open our minds. And let your word also come out mightily so that it can affect our life, it can affect our Christian life. And eventually, help us to maintain our salvation. Thank you, ever-living Father. We just bless you. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. There is a trend that I have noticed here in the U.S., but even more so in Africa. And that is that there seems to be churches everywhere. Of course, that is what we want, right? But what is bothersome about the trend is that in spite of the fact that there are churches everywhere, we look at the society and we look at the way people carry on every day, and it doesn't reflect that fact that there are churches everywhere. Hallelujah. Just was it last month or even this month in Nigeria, there was this pastor who was a former governor, and he was thrown in jail for I don't know how many years for embezzling money. So can you imagine a pastor embezzling money? Is that not an oxymoron? Should they be found in the same sentence? You know, so it's like we have a lot of folks who are religious, but they are not godly. Amen? The character of people do not reflect godliness. And there's some of the others remaining who have some form of godliness, but they still deny the power thereof. The churches are there, everywhere, like I said, but the faith of the folks in the churches have been destroyed even from within the church. Amen? This is what happened in the time of Paul, and it's also happening now. Because we just, believe me, go outside of here now and sample 3 churches and just go and listen to the sermon. Nobody talks about Christ. Nobody really talks about Christ. They're only talking about Christ in the sense of what he can do for you. Amen? They're not really trying to affect your lifestyle. Nobody cares about your lifestyle. Whether you live a godly life or not, they don't seem to care. You know, the Christianity out there right now, especially in Africa, and since most of us here are Africans, I might use that example very well, have become like the recipe for soup. 1 teaspoon of salt. 1 cup of garlic. Lord have mercy. Yes. It's almost like bring this and bring that and bring this and we will do some work for you. That is the kind of Christianity. It's a recipe kind of Christianity. Or a prescription kind of Christianity. Use 1 in the morning and 2 in the evening. And many of us fall prey to it. So nobody is really telling you about how to live your life as a Christian. So, any wonder then that a Christian goes to work in a place where they should live by example and they are not showing any example at all? As a matter of fact, they probably lead in doing the bad things there. Amen? And that is because of what is happening inside the church. Because the church itself is being destroyed from inside the church. Because the people that are supposed to be telling us the truth are not telling us. Amen? That was what was happening at Corinth. And that is what is strengthening many of our own churches today. And in the 10th chapter, you know, the one I preached on the last time, we've already noted the weapons that we can use to counteract this kind of evil strongholds and their purveyors, I would say, in our midst. But apart from the weapons, there are also tactics that we can use to stalemate these strongholds. And Apostle Paul had called that, so to say, he didn't quite say it this way, but he has called it simple Christianity. Simple Christianity. And that's all I'm going to talk about today. You know, verses 1 to 4, even then we read verses 1 to 15. The reason I read verses 1 to 15 is because it kind of reinforces what I said the last time. Hallelujah. So today we are going to really keep it simple. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to keep it simple. You see, the main problem with Christianity is that it has become very complex. And I know, I'm not trying to talk about simple church. And we will still talk about simple church. You know, that's a different topic entirely, and we're going to talk about it. But it's essentially the same kind of thing. Just the same way church has become complex, Christianity has also become complex. So the solution is essentially to keep it simple. To keep it simple. Someone, when you think about it, really, what makes the church complex? What makes the church complex? Because there are so many kind of doctrines out there. And people tend to concentrate on those doctrines instead of, you know, focusing on the real thing. There are people out there who think to be a good Christian, you can't wear earrings. Is that not making Christianity complex? Why do I have to think about things I should wear, things I should not wear? It should be just simple enough. You know, look presentable. That's all. And look presentable is so easy to deal with than thinking about what kind of shoes I should wear because I'm going to church, and what kind of earring I should wear, and how I should tie my hair or not tie my hair. You know, all kind of laws. Essentially, each time there are plenty of laws to follow, then things become what? Complex. Basically, complex. So we're going to talk about simple Christianity. Let's see what Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 3, which my sister read, Sister Florence read so very well there. Let me read the NIV first. I hope, this is verses 1 to 3, I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. This is Paul telling them, say, wait a minute, I'm going to be foolish for a little bit. And I hope you won't mind me. Yes, please, put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. And I listen to that, that means there are some kind of jealousy that are not godly. So it means that it's not all jealousy that are bad. Hallelujah. He said, I promise you to one husband to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds have somehow been led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. From your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. This is what KJV read that verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I look at those translations and I try to marry them so I can get good meaning from it. KJV talks about the simplicity that is in Christ, and the NIV talks about sincere and pure devotion. So I will look at that as saying that the simplicity that is in Christ is the sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Amen? So when we are talking about a simple Christian, we are talking about a Christian that has a sincere and pure devotion to what? To Christ. Amen. So, that's what Paul seems to be saying here. But however, some folks were coming in into the Corinthian church to teach them something else. And they were beginning to make the whole thing complicated. They were making it complex. Now, let me tell you something that I have observed. And this is my own observation. That when religion becomes complicated, it is always a sign that it is drifting away from the important things of faith. Amen? Anytime religion becomes complicated, it means we are going away from what is actually important. If you look at our world today, for example, it is getting increasingly complex, which then means that humanity generally is also drifting away from God. But if we look around at nature, you actually see the simplicity of God's design everywhere. God did not make it complex. Look at our year, for example. God intentionally built it around four seasons. It's just simple four seasons. You know, we know when it's going to be cold, we know when it's going to be hot, we know when it's going to be dry, we know when it's going to be wet. You know, God has made it simple. You know, when Jesus Christ was here and the disciple asked him about the Ten Commandments, the laws, what did he say? He just basically summarized it into two. Love God and love your neighbors. Simple, right? Simple. God basically is simple. But when religion becomes complex, then we are beginning to depart from Christ. Our religion is affected the same way our society is affected. So whenever the affairs of men are getting difficult and complicated, religion also becomes difficult and complicated. And the reason is because if the affairs of men are difficult and complicated, we always think that because God is higher there, so God's things must also be more complicated than our complicated things. So when our lives get complicated, we tend to think God becomes also more complicated. Look at the issue of gay marriage. I know it's always a sensitive topic to talk about because political correctness is we can't talk about it. But you see how it has made life difficult for a lot of people? Pastors are afraid to talk about that in the church. We can't even talk about what is in the Bible because what is in the Bible does not support it. If we begin to talk about what is in the Bible now, they will say we are gay bashing. They're making religion difficult for us. Because if I want to preach, all I need to do is go to the Bible and just quote what is in the Bible. But now I have to be careful I don't say something before they come and get me up the pulpit here and say that I am gay hating. And we're not really hating anybody, we're just trying to do what our faith teaches. Look at that baker, is he in California or somewhere? That baker, all he wants to do is make money. Right? And that's all he wants to do. You know, just bake cake, people buy it, they pay him money, and he continues with his life. Now that poor man has to think whether he should bake the cake for some people or not bake it for some people. And why this life becomes so complicated? Because the society became complicated. What we knew as marriage before suddenly is not marriage anymore. So religion is just becoming harder because the society is getting harder. What goes on outside, you know, finds its way into the church. And then now we have to do something. I remember last year we formed a committee in the board, and that committee has not finished their job. That they have to draft something to indemnify us, to protect us here. Just in case two people walk in here now, a man and a man, and ask me to marry them, and I say no. Do you know what's going to happen if I say no? They're going to take this church to court. And me. And they can destroy us. Complex society results in a complex church. So that's what happens when people, you know, begin to make life difficult. It finds its way into the church. And the truth is that the further away from God life becomes outside there, the more complicated our religion becomes. And that is what Paul is concerned about. And if you ask just what is that simplicity that he is talking about, the answer from everywhere in the Word of God is our daily companionship with Jesus Christ. That's the simplicity he's talking about. That's why he called it a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And when you really look at it, what does it mean? Sincere and pure devotion to Christ means obedience, love, and purity. It's that simple. Obedience, love, and purity. We often say that Christianity is not about creed. It's not about creed. Because creed is about laws. Okay? It's not about creed. It is a relationship. It's a relationship. And that's the simplicity that is in Christ. The danger that we constantly face, even in a church like our own, where we try, and I hope by God we try, to teach the word of God, we do try, is that we get involved in the things about Christ, and then we also forget to live in a relationship with Christ. That happens to us too. And that is what Paul was deeply concerned about. That is why he said he was jealous. He was jealous to maintain the simplicity that is in Christ. Because what he has taught them was simple. That's what he had taught them. Very simple Christianity. Sincere and pure devotion to Christ. But some people have now come and started changing everything. And he was afraid, the way they were changing everything, that they were going to be doing something else. So Paul became jealous. It was a godly kind of jealousy. Hallelujah. Someone once said that the main thing about being a Christian is to see that the main things remains the main thing. The main thing about being a Christian is to see that the main thing remains the main thing. And this is what Paul was also saying. And the main thing is that at the heart and center of our life is the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. A very simple thing. There was this theologian called Karl Barth, very famous theologian. And he was once asked, and that thing has now become a famous story that everybody tells. He was once asked, what is the greatest theological thought that has ever crossed your mind? Don't forget, this man is a great theologian. He wrote a lot of things, a lot of theology. So they thought he was going to answer with something really deep, complex, and maybe difficult to understand that you have to analyze and stuff like that. So they said, what is the greatest theological thought that has ever crossed your mind? And his answer was, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That is simple Christianity right there. Very, very simple. If you are running around looking for something more than that, you are wasting your time. And you are not pursuing Christianity. You are pursuing something else. And especially if you look at us, who come from the background of Africa, where quite a number of people were idol worshippers. All right? And in idol worshipping, they do a lot of what Yoruba has called etutu, sacrifice. Right? And we tend to bring that into Christianity. And until you find somebody who can do etutu for you, you don't think you have found the real thing. And then we start doing this run around, trying to still find somebody who will do that sacrifice for you. Yes, there was sacrifice, but that was in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was the supreme sacrifice. It's all gone. He's done it. It's over with. We don't need to do any sacrifice again. All we need to do is just love Christ and obey him. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's so easy to lose this simplicity, though. You know, we can lose it in the, you know, daily vagaries of life, daily living, the pressures of life. We can get so busy sometimes. We can get so worried. We can get so anxious, you know, that things are happening to us, that we lose the sense that Christ is with us and that he has never left us. And that Christ loves us. And that that's all we need. Amen. We really don't need more than that. That is the beautiful simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Let's look at the Corinthian example very quickly. And then I'll close this. In Corinth, they were losing the simplicity for a variety of reasons. But chief among them is that they have been assaulted with many teachers who were exposing them to things that caught their attention but were not the real thing. And so they began to drift away from the central point of simplicity. What they were being exposed to were involved with fascinating philosophies that are based on the word of God, but which went off on the sidetracks. Paul said, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it so easily enough. That is, the Corinthians, they were ready to accept anything. They were ready to receive anything. Even then, it is so different from the foundation they got. They still just take it and believe that it is still the same Christianity. This is where we have to be discerning. As Christians, we need to be discerning. If somebody comes and start preaching something to us that's different from what is in the word of God, be wary. Be very wary about it. Amen? Amen. But what Paul was saying is that you guys are gullible enough. And this is kind of some upside down psychology that Paul was trying to use on them. You guys are gullible enough, and in a gullible version, without questioning, you just take what people come and tell you. Okay, I want you to be gullible right now too and listen to what I am telling you. Amen? Amen? Someone once said that the danger for the church of God is not unbelief, but wrong belief. He said it is not skepticism, but superstition. It is not irreligion, but religion. It is not the doubter, but the deceiver. He said it is not the external assault on Christianity by its religious rivals that have represented the most serious threat to its survival. It is the subtle infiltration of saboteurs who exploit the gullibility of the Christian people. That is the danger. That is really the danger. And you can see the way it was happening in Corinth. And it's happening now. You might sit down and say, is it happening? Oh yes, it is happening. Examples abound all around us. We read them in newspapers. We even sometimes are exposed to them in our churches. And I cannot tell you for a fact that we have not been exposed to it here. I cannot tell you that. Because they come in different shades and different colors. Amen? The bottom line is that what threatens the church is what sounds Christian, but is really not. What sounds biblical, but is really not. And what sounds spiritual, but is really not. Those are the things that threaten the church. Not things that are not spiritual, and you already know that this thing is not spiritual, so you stay away from it. But when something sounds spiritual, you move close to it because you think it is spiritual. That is the danger. And we are all exposed to it. We are all exposed to it. The people who do damage to the church are those who say that they are representing God or representing Christ, or that they are teaching the truth of the Bible, or that they have the right interpretation of the Bible. They are the deceivers who present themselves as Christian preachers and ministers and teachers, but succeed in duping the gullible church members. These are the problems we have. They did it during the time of Apostle Paul, and they are still doing it now. But the truth is that they are always false teachers. And there will always be false teachers. And they will even increase in number the closer we get to the end of age. There will be people who have fabricated false gospel. There will be people who have even made another Jesus for themselves. You have heard about them, right? Many people who say they are the reincarnation of Jesus. They are there. You know, there are many of them out there. You know, there are people who will come and tell you that they have this power and is the power of a false spirit. There are people who are prompted by seducing spirits. There are people who have all, they come with all kinds of doctrines and theory about demons. They are all planned to confuse you. Believe me, they don't come in the name of Jesus. Many of them come just for their own benefit. Many of them, they profess the truth, but in attitude and behavior, you see that they always deny the truth. They're there, and they will always be there. So it is left for us as Christians, the simple and pure Christian, to develop tactics to protect our simplicity. You must protect your simplicity. You need to protect your simplicity. Otherwise, you will be just pushed around by every flimsy wind. Now, like I said, we have roles in the deception. And part of the problem is that the society has become a society that praises a life that is active more than depth of character. Look at me now. And I'm not trying to say I'm a true man of God. You have to check that yourself. I can't tell you. I just know what I'm preaching. But I'm here standing in one spot just talking and preaching the word of God. Somebody else will be here and they will have run from there to there probably 50 times today. And we tend to respond more to that than respond to the word of God that is really coming out. We are diverted. Our attention are diverted by all the activities that we tend to forget to pay attention to the substance. That is what happens. It's all of us. I'm not trying to even exclude myself, because I get carried away too. It's the truth. We tend to focus more on performing than on being. You know, people act a role, we focus more on that. But do they actually live that role that they are acting? We don't look at that. You know, we get carried away. Somebody can come here and begin to say nonsense and we will be laughing. You know, when we do it, we watch TV and somebody says, "Your mama," and we laugh. As if your mama is an edifying thing to say. You know, we're like that. Someone comes here, you know, or even on TV, or here, and they start using all kind of four-letter words, wah, 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 and we all begin to laugh. We forget. You know, we're focusing more on the entertainment value of what they are saying than on the substance of what they are doing, saying. It happens out there, and it has smacked its way into the church. Pastors that are entertainers are more successful than the ones that cannot entertain. So everybody make sure they go to the school of entertainment. And they begin, and then they start to come and practice on us. And we don't seem to see it. Or we see it, or we don't care. And that's a problem. Because before you know, we're already getting wrong doctrines that are already under the cover of entertainment. Amen? Satan is very powerful, he's very clever, and he's very subtle. He disguises, you know, in a myriad of ways. And they are well designed to get our attention. You know, his seductions are attractive, and Christians also are gullible to this. Christians find it difficult, for example, to believe that anyone who is nice, who is friendly, who is charming, who sounds spiritual and is clever with words, talks about God, talks about Jesus, could ever be a hypocritical liar. And there are so many of them out there. That's our role. That's the role we are playing in this. Amen? We should not subject ourselves to these kind of things. Honestly. Christianity is very simple. Christianity is very simple. I have some bad examples here. And I know some of you have heard them. There was this pastor in Zimbabwe. He was performing miracles in the church. And then he took his phone and called God. Yes, he called God. He knows God's phone number. In the church. He called God, and then God will tell him what to tell each person in the church. And after he talks to God, then he will give you your own message. Then he will call God again about another person. If you say you have headache, you say, "Hold on, let me call God." He will call God, and then he will tell you how your headache will go. Come on now. And people sat down. There are so many people. They were sitting down in there, and they were even presenting themselves one by one so that the man can call God on their behalf. You see the role we're playing? Why do we subject ourselves to those kind of things? His church is packed. A young man, but his church is packed. Because he can call God and talk to God on the phone. Do you remember that pastor? I think his name was Daniel Lesego or something like that. That has his members to go out and eat grass. You remember? Oh, he has come up with a new one. Yeah. At one time, he asked them to drink petrol. Just to know the power of God, yes. This time, he brings this big green snake into the sanctuary. And then when he's preaching, he puts the snake in front of him. And then when he wants to bless the communion, he places the snake inside the communion. And says that the snake blesses the communion. And then before he starts giving it to them. Believe me, this thing that Paul was talking about that happened in Corinth, it's happening again now. But a lot of us are not paying attention. And a lot of us, because we have not read our Bible to know what the truth is, we're going along. Those ones are extreme examples, but subtle examples happen even to us. And we don't know that there are subtle examples like that. That's why it's so important to go through this Corinthians. That's why I am so stubborn about this Corinthians. Because after reading it, both the first Corinthians and second Corinthians, I decided, no, this is something that we must all learn. Because something happens in churches that should not be happening to us. Even if we are 20 or 30 here, and we are living according to what the Bible teaches, glory be to the God Almighty. Amen. It's happening everywhere. It's happening everywhere. Another big error that some of us are involved in, and we don't know that we are, because we haven't seen it as a problem, or because somehow we believe that it's okay, is that there are a lot of Pentecostal churches out there. I am from a Pentecostal background, so I know the power of God. I know about Pentecostalism. I know about spirituality. That's my background. That's how I grew up. But the big error in today's Pentecostals, or people who love the Pentecostals, is that we have allowed the gift of utterance to replace the power of Jesus in our lives. There are people who believe that until they go to a pastor who can tell them what is going to happen to them tomorrow, then they have not felt the power of God. There are people who believe that until they go to a pastor who can do divination for them and tell them what's going to happen to them next year and in 5 years' time, then they have not really seen a pastor yet. So they are elevating the gift of utterance, gift of prophecy. They are elevating it even more than the power of God itself. Because God works without regards to anybody. If God is going to touch your love and turn your life around right now, it's not until you go and talk to somebody that will tell you something that's going to happen to your life. Does it happen? Do prophecies happen? Of course, I am from that background. I know about prophecy, but you will never see me, Simba Odunaya, go and look for a prophet somewhere to come and pray for me and tell me utterances. I grew up in there. I have listened to prophecies in my life, but I will not go and look for a prophet. I will not. Because that's not what my Bible tells me to do. If the prophet happens to be in the church here, and I am praying and he has a word for me, glory be to God, I will take the word. Because God works in mysterious ways. But not until I start going to look for a prophet somewhere. We all make that mistake. And it's part of complicating our Christianity. We have made Christianity complex. It's too hard. It's too hard. It is not that hard. Hallelujah. It is not that hard. So people go around, they shop for divination. The shop for divination. Please pray that the Lord will deliver you. There's this popular American pastor. He wrote a lot of books. A.W. Tozer. And his observation was that the teaching of the New Testament is that God and spiritual things can be known only by a direct work of God within the soul. So God needs to work within your soul. God needs to work within my soul. It is not for you to begin to look for the work of God in somebody else's soul. Amen? The pure understanding of God must be by personal spiritual awareness. Live your life so that you also can become spiritually aware. That is simple Christianity. Everyone, each and every one of us need the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is indispensable, but it starts with a relationship. Have a relationship with God. Have a relationship with Christ. It is that simple. Simple Christianity is about relationship. And that relationship is based on what? Obedience, love, and purity. Obedience, love, and purity. That's what it's all about. You talk about obedience, it's about submitting to God's will. Just in case you don't understand what I'm talking about. And when we talk about love for God, there is no greater demonstration of love than an abandonment to the will of God. Then you show that you love God. Amen? And someone said that purity, actually I was in a class yesterday at Awesome, and we discussed purity at length. I don't even want to talk about that now. I'm probably going to preach about purity one day. But the idea is that purity is when something is examined under the strongest light without it displaying a single flaw or imperfection. That is what purity is. Yeah, we might say we cannot achieve that because we are human. But are you making the effort? Are you trying daily? Are you living your life daily, you know, trying to live in purity? That's what is important. If you obey God, if you love God, and you strive to live a righteous life daily, then you are a Christian. Amen? That's what it means to be a simple Christian. And that's what Paul was saying in there. That's why he was saying, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Because I've espoused you to what? One husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What is a chaste virgin? A pure virgin to Christ. But the serpent was coming in different forms to mess up that simplicity and make it into religion. See, when we are simple and pure Christians, then we can attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let me leave you with this, because I can see my time is already long over. This is the words of Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4. And this is verses 14 and 15. After we attain the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, we will be speaking the truth in love, and we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, and that is Christ. That's what we need to do. If we live as a simple Christian, that's what's going to happen. We will not be available for anyone to come and make a fool of us. And some example I wanted to use, but I didn't want to talk about it because I don't want to look like I am talking about any particular person. But let me warn you. Because if the Spirit brings it to my mind, it's because I needed to say it. Fake men of God, they are always all about money. That's one way you can easily identify them. They are always all about money because they are in need to do what? To make money. If you meet a man of God that says you should go and empty your account, be wary. If you meet people who are praying for you and think that until you go, come and put money in their hands or something like that, your prayer is not going to be answered, be wary. I have to tell you the truth. And I cannot, I can't tell you that those kind of people will not come into this church. But you have to remember what I have told you. Because I can't stand up when they're asking for your money and say, don't give them your money, oh! I cannot do that. I'm just telling you right now, be wary. You will not see me open my hand and say, you should come and start putting money in it. For what? If you want to give money to God, give money to God. You're a free woman being. You know what God does for you daily. I know what God does for me. And I give money when we're supposed to. If we need money to do something in the church, we come here and appeal to you that we need money to do this. I won't just come to you and say, start putting money in my hand. For what? Be wary. Be wary. Live your life as a simple Christian. Don't let people confuse you. May the Lord help each and every one of us.
We believe you have been blessed by the teachings of God's Word from Christ International Community Church. For further inquiries, please visit our website at www.cicciohio.org. God richly bless you.